Wait. Something crazy happened
something
recently.
Really crazy has happened. First, there's a few crazy things that are happening in this current moment.
Yeah. First of all, right before we started shooting that, well, I guess I should, we can't ignore the real one.
I think we can't ignore the real, what would you say this is? Shock. I would say that I'm in shock.
People have been shocked by what's going on.
And for the listeners at home that might not be able to visually see what's going on in Joe's face, it's that Joe has bleached his eyebrows and has shaved his head. And so I know what you're thinking. Oh my God, what is Joe going through?
I know. And I didn't even think that. That's the scary part. And that might mean that I am going through something because I was talking, I got back from doing it and my boyfriend actually said, like, it's cute. Are you okay?
Are you okay?
Are you okay?
And I think that, like, let's just acknowledge, are you okay?
I'm doing really well.
And I think that you are too. And that's why it honestly didn't even faze me too much. Was I a little bit shocked? Yeah. But the thing is, I was saying this before and I'll say it again.
To my mother?
I was saying this to Joe's mother, actually.
There was actually a debate happening downstairs.
I was saying, you know what? Joe is a visionary and he always has a vision. And I genuinely believe that if he's doing this, it makes sense for the trajectory of your career.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I would agree with you. I find it hard to disagree with a statement like that.
But we were in a 20 minute debate with Joe's mother and
you
wanted to be dead.
So neutral as you always do.
I was Switzerland.
You really were. You really didn't say a damn thing to either party.
I was smiling so much that my face was so red because I was
so
uncomfortable.
You were so nervous. Which is crazy because I feel like you've sat by amidst war between me and my mother since we were children.
Yeah, but I always have the same exact feeling of discomfort. And it's like it brought me back.
But it's camp. It's fun. That's what brings me life. It's like fighting with my mom.
But it wasn't really a fight. It was really just like everyone was in good spirits.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's what I enjoy. It's like it's fun banter. It's debate.
And you said, I just wish I had a cool mom that would look at my eyebrows and say, nice eyebrows, Joe.
I didn't say I wish. I said, just imagine I did. Yeah. I offered everyone the opportunity to visualize what that might have been like for me. But yeah, I bleached my eyebrows because I'm stepping into, it's no surprise that it happened the week after Julia Fox. You're right about
that. You meet Julia Fox one time and then you bleach your eyebrows.
And shave your head. Yeah. I just decided it's like time, like I'm kind of done pleasing others.
Yeah.
And also like, I feel like it like ushers in this new era for me where I'm like, I want to like get into the fashion space. I feel like for a while I've like let my fashion sense kind of droop into like normality.
Love that.
And in COVID, I was like I was wearing crazy clothes in my room.
Always.
But that's cool.
Like you've always been like up with fashion.
I know, but I feel like I've toned it down.
You have. I think
I've been wearing like really, really, yeah, right. Like I really toned down the looks, and I want to be more aggressively uncomfortable to look at.
Okay. So I will say that what I'm gathering is that you are doing okay.
Yes.
But there obviously is a reason that you bleached your eyebrows. And it is because you just want to say, fuck it.
It's also because we're moving to Bushwick.
Yes.
It's part of it.
And you guys, I know we've been talking about it for a really long time, but today we just got the email with the lease agreement.
It's happening. We're getting out of Long Island.
We're getting out of Long Island. Everyone was nervous.
We really were like, we're going to take 3 weeks to go to LA, do our tour and come back and move into an apartment on April 15th was our plan?
Yeah.
We're moving on June 1st. We took a slight break from reality.
Yep.
A slight break from... How do you say, what's the opposite of being psychotic?
Sanity, for sure.
And
again,
we're
back, and I know we've said it, but I really do feel like I'm living in COVID again.
Yeah.
And it's tough, and I'm actually commuting into Brooklyn.
It's crazy. The commute is really tough.
The commute is really tough.
The Long Island Railroad, I mean, again, aside from the fucking sexiest conductors of all time.
I'm just like,
it's really, it drains you. It drains a person. And not in a good way.
Not in a good way, because then you get off the Long Island Railroad and you got to get another subway and then you're there. And I'm like,
I almost took four trains to get back to Long Island this morning. And I was like, I can't. Like, I feel I felt stranded in Bushwick.
It's not normal. I'm like walking around Williamsburg trying to find a fucking outlet.
We've been living out of our suitcases. Yeah, it's actually crazy.
It's really crazy, but you know what? It's temporary,
and it's over now.
Brows, yeah. And
the brows are pretty permy.
The brows are permanent, but everything else is just temporary.
Good children. My voice is a little bit damaged from the screaming that we just did. We got the text.
We've gotten some good news. That we screamed. In a span of 1 minute, we got about four positive text messages that we were almost called into existence and screamed on the top of our lungs.
So we're in genuinely, I would say I'm probably in the best mood since probably last year.
I actually
think this feels
the Italy episode.
Yes. Like, it feels like a return to form. I'm so happy for us. And I'm more happy for you, the listener, to get to finally experience joy again listening to this.
It's been 37 episodes since the Italy episode, right around, and I feel...
It's been tough.
Yeah.
It's been tough for us, but it's not anymore. Like, we're in good spirits. We actually had to cut an episode that we shot back in our apartment because it was too dark.
It was too dark, but I do believe that this is coming off of that 1 year anniversary. It's coming off the Julia Fox episode. We're stepping into our own. We released what our stats looked like for the past year, and
it's been pretty good.
Like, it's been really good, and looking back and feeling grateful and feeling thankful and being able to process finally what has happened.
Finally got back my smile.
Into the next year being like, no, it happened.
Stepping in with a combat boot on a bed.
And that was another thing that I wanted to bring up. I was like, Joe was like, you could just sit crisscross applesauce. And I was like, I'm going to take my shoes off. You're like, you don't have to. I was like, no, I think that's a normal thing to do.
You knew that the reason you didn't have to is because I wanted to keep my boots on.
Absolutely. But it's your bed.
You're right. And so, honestly, I think I've worn these boots in the street one time.
I think it's almost worse for me to have my socks on your bed than my shoes.
My socks? There's been like a wetness, like a sogginess.
A soggy soak?
Yeah.
A double S?
Yeah, a double S.
Why?
A soggy soap, soggy soaky sock, a triple S.
A triple S.
Yeah.
Well, that sometimes happens when, I mean, like, you've been walking around.
Yeah, the sweat.
For the sweat.
It's a quadruple S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
I guess we're changing roles this season now. I feel like we're starting, it's still season two, but I do feel as if this begins like the second half of season two.
I feel like the second half of season two, but also the second half of my life.
Oh shit. Wait, Andrew, your birthday.
My birthday.
We haven't even covered it in the podcast
yet.
Yeah,
no, it happened.
Happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
It literally was like 2-4 days ago.
Yeah, I really feel different.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm coming into my own as a 27-year-old.
Yeah.
And I feel normal as a 27-year-old.
Yes.
And I also believe that I'm going to live a long, long life.
I think you are too.
And I know I've said things before about the 27 Club.
Yes.
And I don't.
Episode one.
I put it out there that 27 is the year for me. But I do think that I just said this is the second half of my life.
It is. So
if it's 54, it's 54.
If it's 54, it's 54. That sounds pretty good.
I agree.
You still have a lot of time left.
I completely agree.
That's exciting.
But I have a lot of medical procedures coming up that I won't share with you. But
yet.
But until they happen.
Just to be safe.
You guys are going to freak out.
I can't wait for the episode that's just going to be like us in the doctor's office. Speaking of doctor's offices, today's episode, first of all, welcome back to Good Children, the podcast. We're hosts Joe Hedges
and Andrew Muscarella.
Reflect on our 22 years of friendship
growing up in the late 2000s, early 2010s,
and all of the nostalgia,
trauma,
and body image issues that go along with it.
We can't quit talking about body image issues.
We're literally obsessed with body image issues. It's one of my favorite subjects to talk about, and I feel as if we both have privately and now confessed to each other that we've been kind of struggling in the body image department for a little bit right now.
I completely agree.
So I think no time but the present to like lean in, dive in, and unpack like what brought us here, what maybe in our childhood, you know, got knocked into our brains, and how we can knock it all off and knock
and
it
listen,
out.
And listen, this topic is definitely deeper and darker, but we're gonna keep it light.
As I'm like adjusting my shirt.
Yeah, I'm like Joe, stop adjusting your shirt.
Jacket.
I'm like, it's okay.
Yeah, we're gonna keep it light, but like, yeah, TW body image, ED, yeah, everything of that nature.
It's very serious. But we just
are you happy with your body?
Why are you gonna say that? Why are you gonna say that? it does get serious. I start crying. Honestly, like, it really is. I think it's normal to ebb and flow. Yeah. Like, I really have been ebbing and flowing, but yeah. I would say in the past week, I'm like obsessed with my body.
Yeah.
But like the past, I think it was coming off of LA and not having any stability, especially when it comes to food. Yeah. We're eating out every single day. We were like, yeah, we were working out. That's fine. But it was still like, I wasn't giving my body what it needed to feel good. Right. And in turn, my brain was just like, you look like absolute ass.
I was pretty much feeling the same thing. I think the what I was eating, but also after LA, I didn't work out again until literally this week.
Yeah.
So like that, I know that working out for me, like the only reason I do it is to not make me suicidal.
Yeah.
So like the moment I did that, I was like, oh, I'm happy again.
Oh, for sure.
And then I shaved my head and bleached my eyebrows, and now it's like a different body image, but now it's almost better. It's like now I'm like, I can't like, even worry.
It's almost like your head and your eyebrows is just a product of working out once.
Yes.
It's like your mind is clear again, and like, let me shave
I'm like
head.
But now it's like I can't worry about it. Feels it's almost freeing. Yeah. Because I'm like, I can't worry about what my hair looks like or what my face looks like. Like I can't worry, like I'm seeing myself in that, and like for a second I'm like, let me adjust, and then I'm like, no one's looking at me, and they're like, no. He's really hot right now.
And what I want to say to you is that when you're editing this episode, I want you to look at both of us. Well, I want you to look at yourself, because you would never look at me and say he looks like shit. Maybe you would, but I want you to look at yourself and be like, I look so fucking
oh yeah, shit. I'm excited. I actually can't wait to edit it, because I can't wait to look at my face.
Incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that the body image issues for me, I mean for everyone in the entire world, like the childhood element of it, like,
oh yeah,
we talk about being chubby, and like I think that sometimes we talk about it in like a patronizing way, mm-hmm, where it's like, oh, we were like chubby gay kids, but yeah, like it was like so much more than that. Like it was I felt worse at that point. I felt like it was worse to be fat than to be gay, because at least, yes, I could hide being gay. And like the challenge of showing up to school, of showing up places, and knowing people are judging my body, to this day has ruined my life. You know, yeah, what I mean? Like, it's still something that I'm still working through, mm, now.
And it was always like, especially as a child, like wanting to change that. Cause yes, you
praying,
knew,
praying.
I knew, like, even as a kid, like, or as like my teen years, like, I knew that I was gay, and I knew that wasn't gonna change, but I knew what could change was my body.
Yeah.
And like taking those steps as a child or a preteen or a teen, being like, I'm choosing to like restrict my food,
yeah,
was really troublesome.
Oh yes. Yeah. And we learned it from media, I would,
oh,
say,
yeah,
especially, we've talked about this at the live show, Nobody Laughed, The Biggest Loser.
You know who's the biggest loser of them all?
Jillian Michaels. Yeah.
And listen, I'm in fitness, and Jillian, if you are looking for somebody, let me know. But
Andrew,
I will,
you're so,
I'm kidding,
fake.
I'm so kidding.
You're not kidding. If you got an email from Jillian Michaels tomorrow, you'd be there in a heartbeat.
I'd be like, Jillian, I'm ready to lead a fucking boot camp. Let's do this shit. No, but I do think that like the way that they went about health and wellness was
so horrifying.
Actually, starvation and nonstop working
out. And the way that they demonized fatness, the way that, like, yeah, like it was like being fat is morally wrong. Like, this, mm-hmm, is something that's wrong with you that we need to fix, and yeah, we'll fix it at any cost.
Don't you want to look good?
Yeah. It definitely does come back to feeling, for sure. Like, when I think about the ED era, oh, the, yeah, Emma Roberts era, is like that time. I remember, I just realized this recently, where I was like, I remember at the time of my life, I would be like, why every day at 3 p.m. do I become overwhelmed with fatigue, mm-hmm, and then my entire face gets really hot and I need to lay down?
Yeah.
And I was like, I must be sick. Like, something must be going wrong with me. And then I was like, I literally wasn't eating. Like, yeah, I actually, my body was like, I didn't have energy to sit at a desk and press buttons at a desk.
So scary.
And every time I stood up, I was lightheaded. And I was like, good. Like, I was like, that's a good feeling. Going to sleep hungry, being like, I'm happy that I'm being hungry. I'm hungry
because
right now.
People fail to realize that, like, when you're trying to lose weight or become healthy or whatever, your first idea goes to, oh, I'm going to restrict what I'm eating. Yeah. I'm going to starve myself. I'm going to eat 1,000 calories, whatever. But it's like, no, a calorie is a form of energy. You need to eat to feel energy, because right. if not, then you're actually going to pass the fuck away.
Yeah, literally.
And you were actually actively in front of people's faces deteriorating.
Like, actually deteriorating. And again, it comes back to my fitness pal. It comes back to these apps mm-hmm. and the way that, like, we have now, and it's so scary, like, the fact that my Fitness Pal is an app that's on the app store that a child can download and mm-hmm. use. Like, I used to Lose It. I remember I actually wasn't using my Fitness Pal. I was using an app called Lose It.
Yeah.
And I lost it.
You were losing, but you were, in your head, you were winning, but you were losing a lot.
That's the thing. I think that's like, if I could speak to anyone listening to this who's going through it in the current moment, it's like, I was celebrating the lightheadedness. I was celebrating being hungry. I was celebrating losing 5 pounds in 1 week,
yeah.
which all of those things are huge red flags.
Huge
if
red
that's
flags.
Happening to you, it is simply not a good thing. No. Like, there is no way that situation is a good thing to be happening to you.
Mm-mm.
That means you are sick. That means your body is unhealthy, and it means that you need to make a change.
Yeah.
Like, point blank, period.
Really is interesting because, yes, we grew up fat, and I think that we've kind of, you know, our bodies have changed since. We've done a lot of work to change it, but regardless of if, like, you are skinny, if you are bigger, if whatever, like, I do believe most people deal with the demons.
Oh, yeah.
Of feeling like they're either too big, they're too small, they're this, they're that, right. they're not enough. It's just like, when is it enough?
Oh, it's never enough for me. When you were like 12,
yeah,
it's like this time of year.
Oh, yeah.
School's almost out.
Oh, no.
You're going to sailing camp. You're going to Christian sailing camp.
I'm like, is the life jacket gonna fit
me? Yeah, like, what was the, did you, like, as a kid, like, what the feeling? I mean, we've talked about pool, we've talked about beach, we've talked about these experiences, but, like, life jacket's a new one, actually. But, like, were you wearing a rash guard?
Oh, of course. A water shirt.
Yeah.
I was wearing a water shirt for sure.
And it's like,
you can really get fancy with those water shirts. Because, again, it's so easy to be able to just show up in, like, a t-shirt and go in the water. But there's a difference between going into a moisture-wicking, water-wicking
shirt. You're like, I'm actually a professional. I'm Michael Phelps. That's why I'm wearing this.
And there was almost some sort of compression to it.
Yeah, it was like a constrictive tank.
And you were like,
yeah,
I have abs. I have abs.
No.
Yeah.
And then, like, getting out of the water and immediately, like, I would, like, towel well above the belly button and then a secondary towel to cover the tits.
This is you were high fashioning it. You were making a beautiful gown because what it is.
It was like aquamarine.
It is because how you do it is you put it right over your belly button. You almost shawl it.
Yes, I was shawling because I also had to cover the stretch marks in my arms.
You shawl and tuck into.
I wasn't making it a gown.
Oh, I was.
I was not Met Gala-ing it.
I was Met Gala-ing it because, you know what? There was a sense of fashion to it, and you were like, people, it was for
me.
Like,
body and
deflecting from people looking for my body and being like, you're crazy.
No, I was like hunched with the towel, like covering my chest. Like, that was my main concern always.
To this damn day, I still take that towel and put it over my chest.
I know.
And I'm just like, it must be so alarming for somebody to be able to see that, but, like, you know the people that grew up fat or grew up feeling that way when they have that towel over their chest.
Yeah.
Until they're adults.
Yes.
Because when you can realize, and I'm learning, nobody cares. Why am I doing that to myself?
Well, it's not even like nobody cares. Like, because it is like, yeah, the right people don't care, but there is, like, people have been taught to, like, hate you for what you look like. Like, and those people exist. And, like, I dealt with those people as a kid. Like, I dealt with, like, fucking
people are
call me fat. You know what I mean? Like, there is like
people do care. People do care, but you shouldn't care.
Always.
I mean, like, again, I was titty twisted. I was scooped. Yes. Like, I was all these different things.
Mock you relentlessly for mock your body. You. Like,
but it's like, it is like, it's so hard for you to develop a thick skin, but everyone's like, oh, just like, you know, like, man up or like, get a thick skin. Yeah. It's like, it's when you constantly feel you're being beat down.
For something that's like, yeah, you can change it, but it's not like, you can't really change like your relationship to food and body overnight. Like, it requires, like, I think way more work than most people even realize. Yeah. And I think we even have, like, we're still working on changing that relationship. And it's like, I have been pounds. Yeah. I have been pounds. Like, I have been everything. I've been above that. I've been, like, well in between it. Yeah. Like, muscly, skinny, like, flabby, loose skin, like, none of those things have changed the brain.
No.
At all.
No. You need to be able to unlearn what was done to you as a child.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to do that and doesn't happen right off the bat. Right. Like, it's like, again, there's therapy and you can talk it in therapy, but it's also just like owning confidence and being like, I do, and it's affirmations. And when we were doing affirmations, I never felt better.
Same.
Because I look at myself and I'm like, oh, I am hot, or I am in shape, or whatever it takes to make you feel that way. But I will say, when I was a kid and I was bigger and I would go to those sailing camps, I knew that the other boys were like, oh, like, I'm going to get hit on, or like, I'm going to talk to a girl, whatever. And I used my weight as a deflection for being gay.
Yeah.
Because I was like, no one's going to even want me because I look this way, and that's fine, that's almost better, because then I won't have to pretend to be someone I'm not.
I know that was actually, I think, one of the most brutal things I've ever heard in this podcast.
We're gonna keep it light.
Whoa.
But I think that's what I'm learning.
Yeah, that's a really horrible thing to hear, because I'm like, I haven't even considered that. Like,
yeah,
I mean, like, we talked about, yeah, like, you grow up, and again, we're talking from the perspective of white men.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's actually, to me, one of the most insane parts of this.
Yeah.
Is that, like, no matter what, it's underscored with the fact that we are in the most privileged party in the United States.
Yes.
And yet we grew up feeling deeply unlovable and deeply, like, unworthy of anything.
Yeah.
And we're white men.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many variations of human being that exist that had to have, are still overcoming obstacles so much greater than our baseline.
Oh.
And yet we're traumatized from growing up.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
It's crazy what your brain can put you through. And it's crazy what, like, other people's opinions on you could put you through.
Yeah, like, I can't even begin to fathom another version of growing up.
No.
Like, we had good. Ultimately,
we had it very good.
Other part of it, like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And we're, like, literally still talking about Jillian Michaels.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like crazy. Like, the perspective, like, it's just nuts what this country and this world, like, teaches us about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Even, again, one of the highest common denominators is being taught, like, you are just nothing.
Mm.
People do not like you. People do not love you. Like, all the time.
All the time. And it isn't even, like, a part of, like family. Like, my parents were always so loving. They were like, you're not big. And, like, those were things that I wanted to hear, too.
That was always, like, tough, though, when someone would lie to your face.
It's like, you're a growing boy. Like, I was definitely a growing boy. And,
no, that part was true. We were growing.
I was growing. But, like, the thing is, they also probably weren't really clued in oftentimes onto the bullying that was happening, because a lot of the times, like, you don't feel comfortable talking about
bullying.
Oh, no, I would
never tell my parents what was happening.
No, and, like, because, like, you want to hide that from them.
Right.
You want to be like, no, I'm okay.
Them. Yeah.
Because you don't want other people to get involved.
Right.
And then it just creates that,
the big depression.
The big depression energy. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
But it was always tough, like, the times in my life where it was same as being gay. It was like this weird, like, secret that was bubbling below the surface that everyone knew, where I was like, I wouldn't bring up the fact that I was fat. I wouldn't bring up the fact that I was gay, but, like, I was like, we all have a generally everyone in the room understands what's happening here, yeah. you know? And then, like, when I would and someone would be like, you're not fat, I'd be like, what the fuck are you saying?
You're lying.
Kristen, like, yeah. are you kidding? Like, you literally are like a cat. Like, yeah. how are you going to look at me and say I'm not fat? Like, it was almost infuriating yeah. where I'd be like, why are you, like, because also those moments when people, like, would reject you speaking the truth about yourself, you're like, oh, you think it's a hard, you think this is worse than I do.
Yeah.
Because at least I can accept it.
Yeah.
You think that me saying this means like but, I'm going to kill myself.
But someone saying you're not fat and then also someone saying you're fat, you couldn't accept either truth, like the
oh,
truth
yeah.
and like yes. not truth. Like, yeah. It was like you just didn't want it to be discussed.
Yes. Leave it, was, it out like, of it.
Leave it out of the equation.
But it was always there. It was always bubbling under every surface.
It was bubbling. And honestly, I think that growing up the way that I did, like, it really created a, like, a version of myself that I, again, I'm always trying to prove something.
Mm-hmm.
I will continuously always be trying to prove something. On that damn swim team, I would swim against someone would look at me, and this is the one thing about actually growing up and playing sports and being big, was like, you would always get sized up. You were yeah. always underestimated, and people were always like, okay.
Right.
And then you would be able to prove yourself, right. and I was like, LOL. And that was my validation to be like, no, I have this body for a reason.
Yeah.
And like, don't you fucking judge me for it.
Right.
But like, I think that that has allowed me to continue to be able to be like, oh, I can prove myself here. I know yeah. what I'm doing. Which is really interesting.
Yeah. But it is like those moments where you're underestimated are, I think, like some of the biggest possible learning lessons
oh, for sure.
that also kind of change your life. But like, I don't know. It's just crazy. It's crazy. Like, it's like the fact that it's never gonna go away.
It's never gonna go away, but you can, it's just like, it's like anxiety, right? It's like, it's never really gonna go away, but it could, it can get less and less and less.
Yeah. Can, like, you guys tell that we're both in therapy now?
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, we're like, we're actually becoming guided counselors here. But like, it can get less and less and less. It's never going to go away. You're always going to have a layer that's going to bring you back, but it's not going to be as bad as it was.
I know, but it's just interesting. Like, I think about the fact that, again, the other place of privilege that we're coming from is that we're no longer in those bodies. Yeah. Like, and yet for us, it's like nothing. Like, I mean, like, things have changed, which we can both markedly point to, like when we were on the apps and like people who have interest in us, which yeah. also really fucked me up when I was like 22 years old.
Mm.
Like when I got skinny for the first time and I used the apps and I was like, why are so many people messaging me?
Yeah.
Like, why am I having more messages than I've ever gotten in my entire life?
Yeah.
Like, that was a really interesting, and then I would like match with someone and be like, you would not have matched with me.
Yeah.
And that was also, like, I would go on dates and be like, you would,
it's
never,
almost worse.
Yeah, I was like, you would never, ever, ever have dated me if you knew who I was.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. It's crazy.
I still sometimes feel that.
Yeah.
And so, like, you're talking to me.
That's
because,
why I don't,
like,
fuck with people who, I'm sorry, like, that's why I wouldn't swipe right on people who were, like, physically at their prime.
Yeah.
Like, a six pack and pecs. Like, I would not, because I was like, I know for a fact you would fucking,
it's
hate,
like,
me.
The muscle, it's the muscle worshippers.
Yeah.
It's like, it really does, it's off-putting for me if somebody really was to be like, oh, I don't know, like, it's not that I can't accept a compliment, but it's also like, again, you want me for what I look like now, or like the version that you, I don't know, it's really tough.
And it's like, we don't have all the answers.
No, we don't.
Like, we almost have more questions than answers.
We,
like,
don't.
It's a really interesting, like, this is an interesting subject to cover because we're still processing it in real time. But it's like, that was, I really forgot that feeling because I guess I've gotten more used to the privileges I have now. But like, I remember just being, going on dates and talking to someone, and like, when someone tells you who they are in a conversation, when they like are like fat phobic, like, and you're like, oh, you think we're on the same side here? Like, you think that I'm going to like, you know what I mean? Like, that moment,
yeah.
like, that's also interesting.
Yeah.
Like, where I'm like, whoa, like, you would never have said this to me if I was who I used to
be. Can you imagine someone was like, oh, and they're like really fat.
Which I've witnessed
all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Like, Are you good?
It's crazy.
Are you okay? Like, why are we still, we're still talking like that?
It's so fucking crazy.
But you need to realize, I mean, like, obviously you realize anybody that is calling anybody out on being fat or anything is such a deeply insecure person.
Oh, yeah. That, like, they're suffering.
Need to look for, like, something physical that is going to be able to
keep. Did we just, like, do this episode? What was that theme of that episode?
Oh, God. I don't know.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Because it got very serious.
It did. Can we just not shut up about this?
We can't.
Okay, Joe. You're 10 years old. You walk.
I'm sorry. It's just so funny. You can, like, almost, an informed listener will know that, like, there was a conversation had in between those two moments that was like, let's bring up the mood.
Let's bring up the mood. Let's bring up the mood. Okay, Joe. You're 10 years old. You walk through your friend's door.
Yeah.
You walk into the bathroom. You see
a scale.
How do you feel?
I think that maybe you might feel differently than I do. I don't think I would.
I was naked. I was naked real quick.
In your friend's bathroom?
Yeah, for sure.
In my bathroom?
Joe, the amount of times that I stripped butt ass naked in your bathroom, socks off in your bathroom, is more than you could even count on two hands. Yeah. Because that's the thing. It's like when you do, like, when you grow up trying to be like, oh, you know, I need to work out. I need to eat a certain way. I need to look a certain whatever, whatever. I see a scale and I'm going to take advantage of the scale. I'm like, it's time. It's midday. I just had McDonald's and I'm going to weigh in. It's time for the check-in. And maybe that was Jillian Michaels calling me. Maybe that was We Fit. Maybe I was preparing for
We. I was thinking about We Fit just now when you talked about stripping naked, because I know that that's been happening.
Yeah, I've stripped naked on We Fit scales. I've stripped naked on your own personal scales. It doesn't even have to be your house. It was other people's houses. I was naked on their scales. And the thing is about the scales, I don't fucking like those little toothpick shits. You know exactly.
The ones that are more accurate. The ones that are the most accurate one.
The accurate scales. The toothpickers.
Yes, yeah.
Because that's stupid. That's so stupid.
No, but again, we've talked about it on the podcast before, but the ones at the doctor's office with the little measures where we're going down from 100 up to the 200.
And again, who were they to say, like, they would always put it, they would start on the 100.
Yeah. And I'm like, why are we kidding?
Okay, and it goes back to the, why are we lying?
Yes. Here?
You, both of us know you got to start a little higher. Because it's
like, once we stop, like, demonizing being fat, like, half of the problems would disappear. Like, it is that. It's those moments where I'm like, why are you pretending that I'm under 100 pounds when I'm 6'3 and visibly fat? Like,
yeah.
And now I have to sit there like, but we all have to be fucking idiots in this play at the doctor's office where you have to bring back down the 100 and add the 200. Like, as if there was something wrong about starting at the 200.
Yeah.
Like, which, you know what nothing, I mean? That's what I'm wrong. Saying.
And, like, again, who made those percentiles? Who's the percentile going off of?
That was always the best. I was always in the best percentile for that.
Exactly.
Extraordinary one was.
We said it before. Like, again, at least I was scoring high. At least I was scoring high. And that didn't deter me from getting any sort of lollipop when I was walking out.
Oh, no.
I was sucking and shoving when I walked out of there.
You say some things. Sucking and shoving.
But you know what I'll say? You know what I'll say?
I'm sure I have literally no idea what you will say.
I don't care. I might have said this before on the podcast, but who really cares? It doesn't matter what body I'll have. I'll always hold on to a pillow. I'm not even
fucking kidding.
Were you about to grab the pillow?
I was about to take the pillow and do it. I was about to do this.
No, and Joe, that's literally fine, because I think that that's not even saying, like, okay, I have body trauma, which it could be, but it's more about, like, comfort.
I think it's a little bit of trauma.
Yeah, but the thing is,
I'm feeling, like, it so much, right? Like, in a crazy way, especially in this fucking shirt.
You literally look amazing.
I'm just doing this. This is actually the problem. Hold on. I feel considerably better.
I would say that we're both in our Reputation era.
Yeah.
You are going to meet Taylor Swift one day, and, like, you're such a disciple of hers, but...
You said I'm going to be the Judas.
I got nervous. I don't know what came over me. I was like,
scary.
She was the Jesus, and, like, you were the Judas.
I'm not the Judas. Like, I'm honestly like, give me like some random character in the Bible. Like, I want to be someone who's like
Paul.
Like, yeah, sure. Give me Paul. Like, okay. Paul wrote a book.
When he comes to me, I am ready. Paul wrote a few things.
Let's see, there he has a gospel.
He had a gospel.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Juke. No, he has to have a gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
He was just a writer. The letter of Paul to the Corinthians.
Praised be.
Listen.
And so it is. Amen.
Amen.
It's sad. What a waste of an education for me.
I mean, mine was collegiate, so that was almost worse.
Oh my God, that is almost worse.
And I had to take theology too.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, listen. I know how to eat that Eucharist, and I know how to I know of good vibrato in a church.
Yeah.
So if I learned anything.
We almost speak with a constant vibrato.
People want to say it's vocal fry. No, I want to say it's vibrato.
Now that you mention it, anyone who has something to say about the vocal fry shit, this is vibrato.
Anyone who has vocal fry is an amazing singer.
Yeah.
That's what they don't know.
But that's what you don't realize.
You can change your hair. You can change your clothes. You can change your mind. That's the way it goes. You can say goodbye and
you can say hello,
but you'll always find your way back home.
Taylor Swift is the theme of the episode.
I kind of think so too. And it's really interesting that it's a body image.
She speaks on her body image issues.
Does she really?
Miss Americana. Yeah, she talks about, I mean, and don't forget, last week, and this is an example, and again, praise be, gospel praise apart. Love her, love what she does. But remember the scene in the Antihero video she had to cut out because it's her weighing in and it says fat, yeah. And she goes,
yeah,
it's the funniest thing I've ever seen. Oh God, do you have any more traumatizing stories to dump on us?
I mean, listen, the last traumatizing story that I'll leave you with is, regardless of where you go, regardless if you're a kid being called fat on the playground, sometimes it always comes back to you. And I will say that in my last place of work, did have like kind of like a, it was almost, am I almost coming for the Moira Rose gig?
It was giving that. It was also kind of giving them like Polish woman.
Oh, that sucks. No, that doesn't suck, but you know, that I'm not Polish.
Sucks.
It's
appropriation. Are you afraid you're going to get canceled?
That's what I was
I have a feeling that if you impersonated a Polish person, like, you're going to be fine.
Okay.
I'd say that's totally on the menu. As an impression.
Okay,
you're fine with Polish.
Okay, so I can go for Polish?
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to go for Polish. But I will say that I recently lived my Mean Girls moment. And I wasn't. I was Regina George.
Did you eat in calcium bars?
Well, I mean, you would have thought.
I might as well soon be.
But let's just say that I was between little workouts going downstairs and eating the protein bars. I was eating the protein bars. And the owner said, maybe you should lay off those protein bars if you're trying to lose weight.
Were you trying to lose weight?
No. So what you implied there was that I was getting fat.
Yeah.
By eating protein bars. I was like, they're in your place of work. You bought those. Yeah, I'm going to eat them.
Wait, that's crazy.
That was crazy. And like,
I mean, the fitness world, it's nuts.
The fitness world is nuts. And that's why like I've really have been having a lot of internal dialogue with myself being like, I don't think I'll ever get away from it.
Yeah.
But that only makes me want to be in it more because I'm like, I'm never going to get away from it from the people that are within
the
change industry,
you wish to see
but
in the
for
world.
The other people that are not within the industry that are coming to classes that want to feel healthy, to feel like they belong in that place that I never felt like I did, I'll be there for them.
That's such a slay.
So eat those kind protein bars. You're not going to die.
I was gonna have one today. I saw one at in the Jamaica train station, and I literally looked at it and I was like,
"Fat bars."
Andrew told me that those I can't eat those.
It comes right back to banana talk.
Banana talk. A banana is a full meal. I'll never forget
that.
People
will tell you anything. And the thing is, I'll believe it.
And the worst thing is like when you're young enough, people will tell you anything, and you really will believe actually every word of it. And there's a world where if no one else corrects you, you will live the rest of your life being like, that's true.
But listen, I think the moral of the story is you are beautiful. You could be fighting your own demons every single day in your head, But the thing is, you need to be confident. The mirror should be your best friend and not your worst enemy. And that's the truth, because I can look into myself in the mirror and I can hate the parts of my body, but I can also look at myself in the mirror and say, I have this body for a reason and I look amazing and I'm in charge of being confident.
Wow.
Something happened.
Something happened.
This is 27.
This is 27.
This is 27.
Countdown begins.
I'm not a baby anymore.
No. TikTok.
TikTok.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of Good Children. We will see you next week for a brand new episode. As always, don't forget to go to Patreon for an exclusive after episode. And
you know where to find us. On across all social medias.
At
Good. What am I saying? At Good Children Pod. And don't forget to do your homework. Like, comment, rate, subscribe, review. Write a little note.
Write a little note.
Listen, like, we went through all... When we were doing the... When you were doing the 1 year post, seeing 3,000 5-star reviews is like...
Pretty crazy.
Pretty crazy. And
not
so
bad for a girl with no talent.
Yeah, no eyebrows.
Not bad for a girl with no eyebrows.
For sure.
Yeah, literally, I'm feeling the love more recently than ever. Yeah. Like, I really love y'all. Thanks for letting us do what we do. And thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
I am beautiful in every single way. Yes, words can bring me down. Oh no, don't you bring me down today.
We need so much help.